Thank you, Ms. Burke. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Amos. All right. It's in the Old Testament, if you're not familiar with it. It's between the book of Joel and the book of Jonah. Obadiah's in there, too. All right. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, all those things. Amen. Amos chapter number 4. Among the prophets here, Amos has a lot to say, I want to just say this before we kind of dive into it and I get ready to pray. I just want to say, I do realize the primary purpose for the writing here, the book, is a prophet writing to Israel. But we've said this over and over again, that all of the Old Testament is for our admonition for those of us that live in the New Testament age. And he's going to make some statements that here in chapter 4 are something that as a boy I think was profound to me. And he's going to use the term in verse 12, O Israel. So he's going to apply it directly to Israel, but we can apply the truth of what's being said in these three verses we'll read in Amos chapter 4, and we'll use our Bibles a little bit today to run a few scriptures. But again, the title for the tape room, and I know that they've told me that the internet is out, and so I don't think we're broadcasting, are we even broadcasting on the radio? So we're not even on the radio, and so you guys will have to tell everybody about it that didn't decide to show up today, man. And so... Prepare to meet thy God is the title. Prepare to meet thy God. It'll come right out of the scripture in Amos chapter 4 and verse number 12. Let's read verses 11 through 13. When we finish reading, then we'll pray. Verse number 11 says, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth, look at that, the wind, and look at this, declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Let's pray, and then we'll dive into the message. Dear Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd help me this morning. Lord, I want to be your messenger boy. I just want to preach what you've given me to preach, Lord, and what you've told me to preach. I know that Amos, all these years ago, was your prophet. He proclaimed this to your people. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be this in this New Testament age, a preacher of righteousness, Lord, and to preach that what you've had me to preach, Lord, for the years that you've called me to do this, Lord, this morning in this place, Lord. I know we're not going out over the internet. We're not on the radio, Lord, but people have gathered together in this building. And Lord, I pray that you'd take the message and that you'd go into the hearts of the hearers, Lord, that Holy Spirit of God, you would do a work that I cannot do, that Lord, you would affect, you draw men unto yourself. If there are those that are lost in the building today, that today they would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those that do know Christ as their Savior, Lord. You'd help draw us to a closer walk with you. Lord, I pray again that you just give me an unction from on high. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, I humbly, Lord, surrender myself to you the best way I know how. In Jesus' name, amen. In Amos chapter number 4, he begins in verse 11 by saying some things of how I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. He speaks of it as a fiery judgment that God has brought down on top of the world. And we could go through the history of these United States and we can see a correlation between so many judgments of God upon the world that we pass off and think that they're not real judgments, and natural disasters that come that you can almost immediately correlate them with how we deal with Israel. Now, this is specifically sent to Israel and spoken to Israel, but God has said from his word that he'll bless those that bless Israel and he'll curse them that curse them. And oftentimes as a nation, when we sided with them, we see prosperity. And when we separate ourselves from them, we see disaster befall us, and sometime natural disaster attack us as a judgment from on high. You may not think that some hurricane or some twister or some bad weather is something that God sent onto the world, and it's not always that way, but when God just decides that we want to pull back or we want to try to toy with Israel, it's nothing for an almighty God to reach his finger down into the ocean and stir up something that will stir us up. He wanting us to realize that he is truthfully acting in the world today. There, we live in a culture that thinks that God is asleep and that God is afar off and that God doesn't care what's going on in the affairs of men, but God is real, God is acting, God is ever present in this world today, and it's time that we get to the place where we prepare to meet our God. We ought to tell people on a daily basis. When I was a boy, I used to ride by, and I didn't really understand it all. I was just a small boy. When my mom and dad got saved, and we started to work around different places on Mount Hermon Road, my preacher, and I didn't know for the longest time that it was actually the preacher's house, but he had a long driveway, and at the end of his driveway, he had a sign that said, "Prepare to meet thy God." Now, I don't know if that would shake you up, but people that drove by that thing, I mean, I would sit there and go, man, it would definitely make you think about, am I prepared to meet God? Do you know there's a bunch of people that have never asked themselves the question, am I prepared to meet God? Now, we could go through the system. I don't want to jump ahead of myself and get 3 or 4 points ahead of myself. I just want you to remember today that every one of us ought to be prepared to meet God. But as Christians inside this building and knowing that you are the majority of people who are hearing my voice this morning, let me just say to you, there's more to preparing to meet your God than just being saved. There's so much more than that. The Bible says that every one of us are going to give an account when we meet him. Now, if you're saved, not an account for your sin, but an account for the deeds that are done in the body. That means opportunities that have been given and afforded me. Opportunities of, even like this good church and this good town. I said to somebody recently, and I was trying to look a little bit up, some of you are just moving into our town. Some of you have been here a long time and you realize what this town used to be. Lots of orange trees, more orange trees than there was people. Now the orange trees are gone and there's a lot of people. And they keep coming in every day. And again, we need to be reminded of the fact that the need of the gospel is greater than ever. The opportunity to share the gospel is greater than it's ever been in our town. And just because our building is maybe full on certain days doesn't mean that there's not people still waiting to hear someone say, are you prepared to meet your God? That the simple inviting to your church would maybe prepare them a little bit more to meet their God. We live in a day and age where I think we shouldn't take it for granted that God has blessed us as a church with people and to be here and to show up and be in our church building. But if we're not careful, we'll get stagnant. We'll feel like this is enough. This is okay. God is blessing. And all those things may be true. God may be blessing. This may be enough. God may say, that this is what I want you to do, but we ought to always be going out. God's going to give the increase. If God wants the church to grow, it'll grow because he grows it. But the opportunity is so much greater than it's ever been. You can't go out to where there used to be orange trees without finding houses to invite people to come to church. And so we live in a day and age, passing my preacher's place, I would see that sign and I'd say, prepare to meet thy God. And there would be something on the inside of myself every time I passed it. And I'd say to myself, man, am I ready? As a boy, am I ready? preparing to meet your God. Let me put it this way. We must prepare to meet our God. We must. It's a must. Turn over with me to the book of Romans. I want you to see something this morning. The book of Romans says, and we've kind of quoted some of it, but how about in chapter 14 and verse 11, there's no escape from meeting our God. I want you to know we must be prepared to meet our God because there is no escape from meeting God. In chapter 14 and verse 11, the Bible says something as simply as it says, "For it is written." All right, there are three other places that this is written. Both of them are Old Testament. But just in case you were thinking I never went to the New Testament, I chose the New Testament scripture to read today. It says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." This scripture here is not just talking about those of us who are saved. Every person, every knee will bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they will either bow to him because and just because he has paid their sin debt. They'll bow to him because he is their King, he is their Savior, he is Lord. They'll bow at one of two judgments. They'll bow at the judgment seat of Christ, which will only be judging those that are saved and are already in heaven. But there'll be one at the end of the millennial kingdom. That's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And at that time period, listen, those are people who were unprepared to meet their God. You see, the ones that are prepared will meet Jesus, and he's already put their sins under his blood. He's covered them and paid for every sin, paid for every one of those things. But now he will judge their opportunities of service. He will judge their opportunities that they had to witness. He'll judge their opportunities to be a good husband, a father, a wife, a mother. I mean, we could go through the list, a child, a son or a daughter. We could go through the list of things that we will stand and give in judgment for. But boy, one day, every knee will bow. And we must be. We cannot escape meeting God face to face in judgment. We will stand in judgment of our sin if we're lost. We'll stand in judgment and give an account for our opportunities that he gave us to serve. I don't know how to even break it up any more than that, just to say that there's no escaping the meeting. Oftentimes, people think that they can dodge things. We live in a day and age in a place where, we think God can't see us. I don't know what it is about our shortness of intellect, that when we understand that God is real, maybe it's because we study everything else but who God really is. We don't realize how big he is. You know, there are people, there a good church like us, all right, a good church like this, there are people that they think they're going to escape the opportunity of serving God because they move themselves from a place like this and a church like this and they move outside of town. Can I just say, you're still going to meet God one day. There are people that I know, they think they're going to escape their troubles because they sell their house and move. The troubles will be there when you get there. You can't change everything. Circumstances do affect us on a daily basis, but the real trouble that we face is oftentimes is because we don't meet or deal with God. Do you know God really wants to be, I mean, he wants to deal with you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants you to be prepared to meet with him, not just at the end of all things when you'll bow your knee to him, but daily he wants you to bow your knee to him. On a daily basis, he wants to speak to you from his word, and he wants you to speak back to him because you have a personal relationship with the Holy God. We know we cannot escape this relationship, but somehow we think if we run from God, how many stories of the Old Testament do people try to run away from God? Jonah was one of the books that we mentioned this morning, and Jonah, who is an Old Testament prophet, And I'll just say it this way, who should have known better, decided that he could run in the opposite direction of God's will and that God wouldn't find him. And just as we began the message, God stirred up a storm in the life of Jonah and everybody else is on the ship. One of the first things you ought to really ask yourself in the midst of a storm, number one, is this storm for me? Number two, who else is on the boat? It could be for somebody else. You know, I think about that all the time. I got on an airplane. Last Saturday, we flew to New Hampshire. It didn't breed confidence. My wife and I are about to fly in the airplane. And we flew Allegiant, by the way, if it'll help anybody. I don't know where you fly away, but we got on the plane and we were about to take off. And the guy came over there, hey, this is the pilot today. The maintenance guys say the plane is okay, but something is still kind of blinking over with in their headquarters in Vegas, you know. But Vegas is thinking they want us to get off the flight and get on a different plane. We'll get back to you in about 15 minutes. I'm on the plane. I'm sitting buckled in the seat. Yeah, the maintenance guys say it's all right, but they want us to get off. We're gonna deplane, and then we're going to go to another plane. We get on the next plane. We're going to be about 15 minutes. The maintenance guys are having to reboot the computer. I'm thinking, this whole thing runs off the computer, right? And this guy is standing there holding a laptop in his left hand with wires plugging it into the computer. And I'm buckled into this plane, and they're about to take it off and fly me where I'm going. That did not breed confidence into what was about to happen in my life. But it took off. You know, it was a little shaky at the beginning, but we made it all the way there. It landed, and we did not fly that back home. We got on a different airline to come home. Amen? But, you know, every one of us, we don't think about this, but I got on the plane, and I got thinking to myself, man, there's a sea of people on this plane. And I'm thinking, I hope all of them are right with God. I hope God doesn't decide to judge anybody on this plane while I'm on it. You know, and I'm thinking about Jonah, and I'm thinking, man, you know. And you say, I don't know if you think that way, but I think that way when I'm on the plane. And I'm thinking on the plane, what could God, you know, it starts shaking. I was on there, one of the preachers, I was texting the preacher because it was like a 4-hour delay. And, you know, and we're on there, and I mean, you know, it says the maintenance guy's doing this, and I'm, you know, I thought about doing one of the, you know, the old school preacher thing. Hop up in my seat and say, does anybody want to get saved on this plane? Amen. You know, right before we take off. Amen. I just thought about, you know, that's what they needed. Because, I mean, I was feeling, I knew where I was headed, but I wasn't really wanting to go through a fiery plane crash to get there. Hey, I mean, sometimes when we think about it, I got on a plane and, you know, I kid about it because I can. Because I was prepared to meet my God. I knew that to be absent from the body would be to be present with the Lord. And I knew if I died in that moment that I would be with him. But I thought about the sea of humanity that was on the plane with me who may not know where they would spend eternity if the plane didn't make it to point B after it left point A. You say, preacher, I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, there are so many things, even in the scripture. Turn back with me to Amos, if you would, quickly. I just want you to see here, he talks about, in the next verse, he talks about who God is. In verse 13, he says, and for lo, he that, look at this, formeth the mountains and createth the wind. You know, he deals with two separate things that can be seen and things that can't be seen. Do you know that God is a creator of all those things? That God's such a creator that God has worked in things. And I think about the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even some of the things that we can't see, that the Lord Jesus is coming in. And the Pharisees, I mean, he's riding in on this colt that they had untied that had never been ridden before. And as he comes into Jerusalem riding that colt, they're spreading out their jackets and palm leaves for him to come in. And they're saying, Hosanna! They're screaming out things like, Maranatha! They're screaming at all kinds. I mean, just praising the Lord and calling him for who he is, the Messiah. Amen. And them old Pharisees like, hey, quiet these people down. You better make them stop. He said, if they quit crying out, the rocks will cry out. Amen. Folks, you know, we miss the fact that even there's some things that we see, but we don't realize the spiritual realm. That when there's things going on, and I mean, think about even the people, even sometimes lost people. In the tribulation period, they'll cry out for the rocks to fall on them and to take them out. You take me out, old rock. You just fall on me. You crush me and take me out of my misery. We don't realize how much God has invested in the world and everything, but we miss the fact. We miss preparing to meet our God because this book is such a book of truth. It tells us everything that we want and need to know about God. But oftentimes we study this to, instead of trying to know him and preparing to meet him, we study it to better us. And I don't mean to say this in a bad way. It should better us. We should grow. But if we wonder why we don't have a true desire to read the Word of God, maybe it's because you start out with a wrong desire. Amen. This book is all about me. I'm trying to fix me when I ought to want to know him. Amen. Knowing him's going to change me. Amen. Realizing who he is going to change me. Preparing to meet him will affect me. God is so high and lifted up, it would be such a profound thing for every one of us to just realize who he is. Every Old Testament prophet that ever saw God, it changed them. They wrote down who he was and how it affected them, and we ought to study those things. We ought to want to know what it's like. We wonder why it is that we can sin and sin and sin. How we can walk outside. Listen, we don't think about the rocks are watching. Creation, God created it all. The things that are seen and unseen were all created by him. And we need to prepare to meet the one. We can't run from him. There is an appointed time we will meet with him. We need to prepare to meet our God. I want you to remember, we must prepare to meet God. Number two, I want you to realize this. We must not meet God unprepared. Now, it may seem like all these things are overwhelmed, but I want to make sure that I get the statements in your head. Say it with me. We must not, say it with me, we must not meet God unprepared. We must not meet God unprepared because God has a place prepared for us. But if we meet him unprepared, the place that's prepared, we don't want to be. Do you know that there is a place prepared for the saved? And I'll even say it like this. There is a place being prepared for those that are saved. There was a place prepared for the devil and his angels called hell. And it is a place that will receive all those that are unprepared to meet their God. You know, the Bible, Jesus Christ spoke three times as much on hell than he did heaven. We forget that. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. As Jesus is preparing to go and raise Lazarus from the dead, he's on this track. He's trying to teach his disciples. He's trying to speak to them about what's really going on in the world. And in their lives, he's preaching up a storm about all kinds of things. And right in the middle, Luke chapter number 16. And again, not here in the book of Luke, because you have to take all the Gospels in chronological order to lay it out the way that we're talking about. But when you lay it out in chronological order, you realize that this, people call it a parable, but God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is speaking about something that he is seeing in hell. He is on track to heading to raise Lazarus from the dead, and on his way there, with Lazarus on his mind, with everything that's going on in the world, he tells the group of people a story about what he can see because he's God. He names Lazarus because Lazarus is the one he's going to raise from the dead. Now, people say that can't be the same Lazarus. He's a beggar, full of sores. Well, he died. Okay? You say, well, Mary and Martha were brother and sister. Yeah, well, Mary was a harlot. So is it that far a stretch to think that a brother could have been a beggar? Is it that far of a stretch to think Martha was the only one, the oldest, married right? And here these people are gathered, and Jesus is headed to them. And I mean, in Luke 16, we find, and look later in the chapter, I'm not going to read a lot of the story. Many of you understand that Jesus is speaking to them, and he speaks specifically about how he was a beggar, and that there was a beggar that was fed by the rich man's table, by the crumbs. Look at the scripture with me. In verse 22 of chapter 16, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in that thou in thy lifetime, look at this, receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. If you're not careful, you'll think that because you have things, listen, people don't spend eternity in hell because they had money. You better read on with me. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll think this is all about getting even. That's not who God is. And he says, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf past that, he says, which is fixed. He said, so that we could not pass from hence to you, and you cannot neither come that pass to us that would come, look at this, from thence. So he's pretty much saying there's a great gulf fixed between us. We couldn't come back and forth if we even wanted to. Now, this is Old Testament. Jesus has not died. He's not take captivity captive. There is a great gulf fixed. There's a place here. He's in Abraham's bosom. That's what the scripture calls it. Other people may use the term paradise. But either way, this place is Abraham's bosom. It's a place fixed for those that had received or prepared themselves to meet their God. And when Jesus paid for their sin, they were transported from a holding place of Abraham's bosom to heaven. And hell, if we read the scriptures this morning, hell enlarged itself to take over all the area that it could. Hell grows on a daily basis because I believe that we live in an age where more people die unprepared to meet God than those that are prepared to meet him. Lazarus here died knowing who Jesus was and trusting in him as the Messiah, as the person who would save him from his sins. The rich man, who should have known who Jesus was, who probably had better schooling, who probably had read the prophets, who probably should have known all the things in who Jesus was, he never accepted him. He finds himself in hell, unprepared. Now, I just want you to see this. This man got to see Jesus and meet God, but that's not the end-all meeting. The end-all meeting is going to be a great white throne judgment. All those folks that spend eternity in hell won't spend eternity in hell as a place. They'll be cooped up in that place for 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, those that were unprepared in salvation will be pulled out of hell. And they'll one by one walk, and they'll stand before God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll hear from Him, "Depart from me, because I never knew you." Do you know, it was daunting to me as I continued to prepare and thought about the message today, and I thought, preparing to meet God is getting to know Him. Because when I stand before Him, He's going to welcome me in because of my relationship with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or at the end of all things, I'll be dismissed because He never knew me. Because I never entered into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wrote this down. We can't meet God. We can meet God in a prepared way. Do you know that every one of us, we don't think about this, but we can meet God in a prepared way. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven as a virgin to prove to everybody that He wasn't like everybody else. He didn't come through a sinful stem or root of Adam, but came through as the Son of the Almighty God, born of woman, raised and walked and was tempted in all points as we are, but yet without sin. Then at the end of His ministry, He went and laid down His life on Calvary to pay or to prepare a way for you and I to be able to meet God on the right terms. He even uses the terminology in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's not, Jesus is saying, "I prepared the way." He's trying to scream to us, "I am the way." If you were wondering, and I'm trying not to be coy this morning, if you're wondering who it is that you need to have a relationship with so that you are welcomed in and you are prepared to meet God, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who died for your sins. He is the one who paid for your sin. He is the person that we will stand before at His judgment seat. And listen, I don't know about you this morning, but I'm thankful for the day. All those years ago that I prepared to meet my God. I remember the day I sat in a pews just like these pews. And I heard a preacher preach about heaven, and he preached about hell. And I had been churched, and I had been in Sunday school. I had worked buses. I had done all kinds of things. I had even told other people about the way. But I sat over here, and that preacher preached and gave 10 points. He said, "I want you to write yes or no, yes or no, yes or no." And at the end of the message, he said, "If you have any no's on that piece of paper, you better really come to grips with whether you are ready or prepared to meet your God." I looked at my paper. There were 2 no's. You say, "What did you start thinking?" I said, "Am I really prepared to meet my God?" Listen, I can go back in my mind's eye, and I had been worried about, I had fear of a place called hell. I was a good person. I had been baptized. I had done good works. So I started going through my list. Good works didn't matter. Baptism without salvation. Well, just let me say it like this. Baptism doesn't have anything to do with you getting saved. And then I said, good works. Listen, that's good, but that ain't going to get me to heaven. You know, the old scale, my good outweigh my bad. You're never going to tip that scale. That doesn't save anybody anyway. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So Jesus came and made a way for me. And as a 15-year-old boy, I heard all the preaching, and I was worried about splitting hell wide open because I wasn't prepared to meet God. You say, "What did you do, preacher?" I got it right. I decided right then and there I wasn't going to hell for nobody. I stepped out during the invitation and made my way down. And if I can just say this, I realized I had an adult mind at 15 enough to know this. I needed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When I stepped out and I walked forward, I wasn't coming except in heaven. I was coming to accept Jesus Christ, the way. I came to get prepared to meet my God. When I stepped out, I didn't come down there so that I could feel better. I stepped out so that I could prepare to meet my God. I came down and said, I accept Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. I got so excited at the altar. I was like, I don't want to do this wrong. I'll be honest with you. You can't accept Jesus wrong. You can't. But I wanted somebody to walk me through the scripture. I had walked others through the scripture. I wanted somebody. I went back and got somebody. And he said, what do you need? I said, you're going to turn the verses and read them to me. He was the bus driver that took the teens to the youth rally. I don't know if he was able to win somebody to Christ. I turned the scripture for him and said, read this one. I turned the scripture and said, read this one. Read this one. I just want you to know, he said, tears started coming down my eyes because I knew the wages of sin were death. Yeah. Romans 6:23. And I turned the pages knowing that my Savior had died for me, coming to the reality that I hadn't accepted him as my Savior. And he began to read Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know I had read that verse to so many others, but that day, that evening, sitting there, tears began to run out of a 15-year-old boy's eyes. That I realized that my Savior, even when I was unlovable, even when I had lived a life, outside and away from him, and if you want to say it, been in church, but never really had known him. Listen, my fear today is that, we've all come into the building today, and my fear is that people are here that are not prepared to meet their God. My greatest fear is that you've came and you made your way into church, and even though you're a good person, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Even though you've made your way in here and you've helped in churches, you've fed the hungry, you've been baptized, you've done good works, but today you could not say that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I submit to you today, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you are not prepared to meet your God. But you could do that today. At the invitation, it's an invitation, and we invite you to step out and make your way forward, and we'll take a Bible, or you can just simply, with someone else or by yourself, accept Jesus as your substitutionary Savior, the one who died on Calvary, paid your sin debt, and he's your substitute. That means he took your hell for you. He paid your sin debt for you. He's the one that prepared the way of salvation. Listen, today if you're here and you're not saved, would you please accept Jesus as your Savior today? Would you get prepared to meet your God? If you are a Christian and you're here today, when was the last time you shared with someone else that they needed to be prepared? When was the last time I'm thinking when I got saved that day, can I just witness just a minute with you? Something changed inside of me. And I wanted everybody to know the person that I had accepted. I wanted everybody else to hear about the Jesus that I knew as my Savior. Because I knew that I lived in a religious town. I lived in a religious world, and people were religious, but they were lost without Jesus Christ and not prepared to meet their God. This morning, as we enter the invitation with heads bowed and eyes closed, and the musicians make their way to the front, let me ask you again, if you're here and you do not know Christ, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you want to be prepared, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not prepared to meet my God. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you today? Is there one anywhere, a hand in the building? Somebody slip it up. I see those hands in the back. Is there anybody else? Just me and God looking around. Is there anybody else that would slip their hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not prepared to meet God." As we stand to our feet, while heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to pray. But if you're here and you ask me to pray for you, would you do this for me? Would you step out and make your way to the front as I pray? That way we can take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven, how you can be prepared to meet God this morning. Dear Lord, we come to you and we pray, God. I pray that these that have raised their hand today, that they would be saved. Without a doubt, there are others in the building who were, they just were timid and couldn't raise their hand, but they need to be saved. They need to be prepared to meet their God. I pray, God, this morning that they would step out and have boldness to walk down the aisle and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You may have never been in an old-fashioned church like ours that had an invitation that invited you to come to the front. But this invitation is for you if you need to accept Christ. We want you to step out, and while heads are bowed and these folks are praying, and they've done exactly what I'm asking you to do, and that's step out, walk down to the front, let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure, for a Bible reason, that you'll spend eternity in heaven, that you'll be prepared to meet your God. We want you to do that this morning while Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
While heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, if you're here and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, we want to give you another opportunity to step out and receive Him as Savior. If you're here this morning, if you've never been baptized, you said, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized." And it's not required for salvation, like we said before, but it is the first step of obedience to God. If you're here and you need to be baptized, everything's ready. If you've accepted Christ, why don't you step out? Join the church through believer's baptism and obedience to Christ, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe.
hope you did what God asked you to do. We want to make sure that you know that if you weren't able to step out and receive Christ, you just couldn't make yourself step out, I will stand here for just a few minutes, and we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. It's why we gathered together this morning. It's the most important thing, to be prepared to meet your God. And so I'm thankful for all the visitors, everybody that's come. We're going to close in a word of prayer. I pray you'll come back tonight. We'll have our teenagers, and you'll be blessed. Amen. The young people of our church will do a great job in our choir. So please be back tonight in your place here. I'm going to ask Brother Jamie Jackson, brother, if you'll come and close us in prayer. So good to have you visiting with us this morning. And bless him. I'll just say this. Please don't be upset with me that I don't go to the back door. I've not been feeling well. I don't know what I picked up in the north. Okay, so I'm going to give it to Brother Jackson right now when I hand him the microphone. But the reason I won't go to the back is that I don't want to share it with everybody in the church. All right.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a church, Lord God, that rightfully divides Scripture. We thank you for a church that where they love each other, and we show that by loving you. Lord God, may you be with us this afternoon. Lord God, if there's anybody in here that still needs to do work, Lord God, with you, we ask that you just please just burden their heart to where they get things right with you. Lord God, please just give us a great day. Please just bless this time. In your blessed Son's name we pray all these things. Amen.